Let's stand for the reading of the word in Matthew chapter 23, and let's start reading at verse 29. We want to say we welcome all of our visitors. We're so glad to have each one of you here in the service this morning. God bless you. Matthew 23 and verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Father, I thank you this morning that we are privileged to preach the gospel. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to preach as the oracles of God. I pray that you would bless the word of God to the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Give us the anointing of God. Help us to speak, Lord Jesus, above what we are able, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes on the religious route to hell. You notice in my text that the Lord said in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? The religious route to hell. My text is taken from a scorching rebuke by Jesus to the strictest denomination of Jews in his day. The Pharisees were not very numerous because of the severity of their religion, but they were held in high esteem by the masses of people. They were the kind of people that people would say of them, if they don't make it, none of us need try. I mean, that's the kind of people they were. Everybody thought that these were the most holy people in Israel. If they don't make it, none of us should even try. Jesus is speaking not to pagans. He's not speaking to acknowledged sinners. He's speaking to the religious elite of the nation of Israel. And this severe rebuke and warning that's given by Jesus demonstrated the fact that heaven's perspective on the Pharisees differed radically from earth's perspective. The Pharisees, the most religious of the Jews, Jesus declared that these religious elites sought by the masses to be sure for heaven were on a direct route to hell. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, the surprises that will be in eternity. Did you hear me? I said, oh, the surprises that will be in eternity. These people who thought they were sure for heaven, and everybody else thought they were sure for heaven, and Jesus said they were on a direct route to hell. The words of Jesus in my text lets us know that things are not always as they seem in the religious world. And I'm preaching to you today because I want to prevent any of us from arriving at the judgment expecting a well done, and instead hear those horrible words, tragic words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I don't know you." In his denunciation of the Pharisees, Jesus points out evidences of their religious intensity. Notice in my text that above my text, in this chapter, this whole chapter deals with his denunciation of the Pharisees. Jesus speaks about their religious intensity, that they were students and teachers, of the law of God. He says in verse 2, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." These were students of the Word of God and teachers of the law of God. They sat in Moses' seat. They sat in the seat of instruction in Israel. They were not only students of the law of God, but they were mission-minded people. The Lord said in verse 15 of this chapter that they compassed sea and land to make one proselyte. They were very mission-minded people, zealous, evangelistic, compassing sea and land to make one proselyte. They were scrupulous about paying tithes. Jesus said about them in verse 23 that they paid tithes of mint and anise and cumin. That is, the little plants that grew in the kitchen. They paid tithes of the smallest items in their household. They were very scrupulous about these minor matters. They even dressed in a religious manner. The Bible tells us in verse 28, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men," so that people could recognize them by their dress. When they saw them out in public, they were marked out by their appearance as being religious people. They honored the memory of the prophets of the past. Verse 29 tells us that they build the tombs of the prophets and they garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. They honored the memory of those godly people, of those prophets of the past. They extolled the virtues and the accomplishments of the great men of God in the past. But I wonder this morning, as I look at the things that Jesus said about these religious elites, the intensity of their religion, I wonder if there are evidences in our lives of religious intensity. Could the world tell that we are serious about our service and worship of God by what they see in us? I mean, do we even measure up to what Jesus said the Pharisees were? Are we careful students and teachers of the Word of God? And how concerned are we about making converts to God? How zealous are we about souls? And do we pay tithes conscientiously? Jesus said about them, "This you ought to have done." And do we dress in a manner that the world could pick us out with no trouble as having a religious intensity of being followers of Christ? And do we even care to know and to honor the memory of men and women that God has used in a special manner in times past in the work of God. Could we even measure up to that? In my text, Jesus is making clear, listen to me now, He's making clear that religious intensity may be manifested by wicked people. Seven times in His rebuke, Jesus refers to the Pharisees as being hypocrites. Seven times. A hypocrite is someone who wears a mask, someone who plays a role that's not really who they are. It's an actor. And Jesus said about these people that they are just playing a role, wearing a mask, that what you see is not really what they are. Five times in this chapter, Jesus accuses them of being blind. Five times, He calls them blind guides. Blindness, let me tell you what blindness is. Blindness is spiritual ignorance, either willful or judicial. It's either because we will to be blind or because God has pulled the blinds as an act of judgment. Spiritual ignorance. Their blindness consisted in part of their having a very different view of their spiritual condition than did Jesus. Jesus saw the fatal character flaws in these people, and they seem to be oblivious of these fatal character flaws and of the fact that they were displeasing to God. They thought surely they were pleasing to God. And listen, their blindness persisted even while they sought to increase the knowledge of the law of God in their life. They became very skilled at deflecting the truth. I know this is not a shouting message. I hope you can stay with me just a few minutes. I feel like the Lord gave me this. I'm not pointing to anybody in this congregation. But God knows if there's somebody here that needs it. I'm telling you. It would be an awful thing to come to the judgment bar of God and realize then, I messed up. I didn't have it right. But I'm glad God loves you. He loved these Pharisees, or He would not have been speaking to them and rebuking them and exposing them and throwing light on the truth of their situation. And Jesus is doing that very thing. He's focusing the light of truth on their spiritual condition. He calls them serpents, vipers. They were poison. I'm telling you, that was a poison in them. In spite of the outwardness, the outward show of righteousness, that was a poison in them. They were like serpents and vipers. There was a poison in them. There's a lot of people that hid a poisoned heart by a righteous exterior. And these people were that kind of people. They had a righteous exterior, but they had a poison on the inside of them. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. That we'd not allow the poison of worldliness and the poison of greed and the poison of bitterness and the poison of unforgiveness to fester in our hearts. I'm telling you that many people have hidden the poison inside by a righteous exterior. You are serpents, vipers. Not only are you poison, but you are dangerous. You are serpents and vipers, and you have the possibility of spreading your poison to somebody else and killing somebody else. And listen, if these people are willing to know the truth and they're willing to obey the truth, Jesus is giving them an opportunity right here to come out of the darkness and into the light and receive the cure for the poison that's inside of them. Now, listen to me. I'm going to try to wind up here very soon. But it is a fearful thing to refuse the divine evaluation of our spiritual status. You remember Laodicea? They said, we are rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. And Jesus sent a message to them and said, you don't know that you are poor and naked and wretched and miserable and blind. They didn't recognize their true condition, and God sent a message to let them know what their true condition was. You know why Jesus did that? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, Jesus said. Jesus loves us. He don't want you to perish. It's really fearful to cast off divine evaluations of our spiritual condition when God speaks to us from His Word, when God speaks to us through the preaching of the gospel. And really, shouldn't we ask God? Shouldn't we beseech heaven, Lord, speak clearly to me about my spiritual condition. Don't let me be in the dark about who I really am. I want to know. I want to find out at the judgment. I want to know now, am I right with God? Is my heart really fixed? Am I in a right relationship with Jesus? Have I really been born again? Has my heart been cleansed and sanctified? Is my hands clean and my heart pure? I want to know now, Lord. Let me know now. I don't want to find out at the judgment that I was mistaken. I'm telling you, last night when I was studying this, I began to pray to God with brokenness. God, don't let me be blind. Don't let me be blind to my faults. Don't let me be blind to my spiritual condition. I'll welcome the light. I'll welcome the rebuke. I'll welcome the reproof. You let me know, God. I want to know what my true condition is. Because it's not only me, it's you, your souls that are at stake. If I'm blind, and the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. So it's not just me, it's my wife. It's my children. It's my grandchildren. It's the people I minister to. God, don't let me be blind. Don't let me be in the dark. Shine the light upon me, Lord. Let me know my true spiritual condition. Jesus pointed out things that these people had overlooked or else excused in their life. They had made burdensome rules to impose on others, while at the same time creating loopholes for themselves. The Bible says in Matthew 23 and verse 3, He says, they say and do not, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They lay heavy burdens on others, and create loopholes for themselves. Sounds sort of like Congress or the IRS and even some parents who will make rules for children. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't do this, you don't do that. But don't do what I do. Do what I say do. And that's Phariseeism. And aren't there some preachers like that? My granddaddy said some preachers preach in the attic and live in the basement. I don't want to be like that. He didn't say that. My granddaddy said some people testify in the attic and live in the basement. And sometimes we have this exalted view of our own spiritual state. And sometimes we preachers, you know, get anointed and get in a big way and think we're in the attic when we're not be in the attic. And then these people use religion not as a means of blessing others, but as a means of receiving blessing from others. You notice in this chapter that Jesus said about them, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, they enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues, greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. In other words, religion for them was a means of garnering popularity from the masses. So it wasn't a means of blessing others, it was a means of being blessed by others. So they sought positions of honor, and they sought popularity among the masses, and they sought titles from the masses to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. And then they majored on minors and minored on majors, paid tithes, omitting annas and coming, and neglected the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. You know, God's judgment of us will reveal whether or not we have put the emphasis on the right thing. You know, it's very easy for us to get the emphasis misplaced. It happened to the Pharisees. They got the emphasis misplaced. I over the years, it took me a long time to recognize this, but over the years, you know, in holiness, we've emphasized the symbols of hair. That the short hair on the man is a symbol of his manhood, of his position in the home and in society. And that the long hair on the woman is the symbol of her position in the home and in the church and in society. And, you know, many times we have made the symbol more important than the substance. So we have gladly accepted the symbol without the substance, when the woman really had no attitude of submission. She had the symbol but not the substance. And the man had the symbol, he had the good haircut, but he did not have any intentions of taking his place as the spiritual leader of his home and as spiritual leader in the house of God. He had the symbol, but he didn't have the substance. And sometimes it's easy for us to get the, you know, we place the emphasis on the minor things. That's what happened to them. Now, it isn't that the symbol's not important, but it is that the substance is the most important. They honored the prophets of the past, but they murdered the prophets of the present. Jesus said, you kill them which are sent unto you. At the same time, putting up tombstones on the prophets of the past, garnishing the sepulchres, making the sepulchres white, honoring the prophets of the past. Second, what a glorious people they were, what glorious preachers they were, and killing the prophets of the present. I'm telling you, brother, it don't do us any good to honor the old-time preachers if we don't live like they preached. Huh? Oh, yeah. We got archives in our churches, you know, and we keep the history of the past before our people. We want them to know about it, these great preachers, but we don't live what they preached. And we would rise up in opposition to anybody who did preach what they preached. That was the Pharisees. And right then they were plotting the crucifixion of the Son of God. I'm telling you, right now, while Jesus is talking to them, they're plotting to kill Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They condemned past generations for their sins while repeating their sins in their own life. Now, Jesus is revealing to these people the danger of staying the course. They were on their way to hell. And some people are going to go to hell from the nightclub. Some people are going to go to hell from the bar. Some are going to go to hell from the gambling table. Some are going to go to hell from the harlot's house. But the great tragedy is that many are going to go to hell from God's house. And that was what Jesus was addressing. 8 times he pronounced a woe upon these people. And woe signified future tragedy and future sorrow. These people had chosen the religious route to hell. And listen to me, I'm just about through. But I'm telling you that the religious route to hell is the most dangerous route. Did you hear me? I said the religious route to hell is the most dangerous route to hell. Because it's hard to convince religious sinners that hell is at the end of their religious road. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, did y'all hear me? Did y'all get that? Do you understand what I just said? That the religious road to hell is the most dangerous road to hell. It's much easier to convert a harlot or a drunk or a drug addict than to convert somebody who's on this religious road and on their way to hell. Jesus said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Because it's so hard to convince people on that religious road to hell that really that is what is at the end of their road. You know, Jesus told him of his past efforts. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her chicks, and you would not. I've tried, Jesus said. I've tried to win you. I've tried to gather you, and you would not. But Jesus has given them one last sign. They'd asked for one. We want a sign that we may believe in you. And Jesus said, all right, I'm going to give you a sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Now, Jesus didn't have to tell them that. He didn't have to reveal to them there was going to be a resurrection. But Jesus loves them. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you one more sign. healing blinded eyes, making the cripple walk, raising the dead wasn't enough. And Jesus said, one more sign. If this one don't work, it's over. And so, what Jesus said to them was, you want a sign? Watch my grave. I'm not staying there. I'm coming out of there. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hey, I'm telling you, brother, they knew about it too, because the soldiers came and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. So how you know that, preacher? I know that because they paid them money and said, don't tell this. They paid them money and said, you tell everybody that his disciples came and stole his body from this grave. But Jesus gave them a sign because Jesus loved them. Watch my grave. I'm coming out of that grave. And this will be the sign to cause you to believe if you will watch my grave. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, God loves you. Oh, glory to God. He wants you to be saved. If you're here lost without Jesus this morning, I don't care which road you're on. You may be on the high road. You may be on the moral road. You may be on the religious road. Or you may be on the low road to hell. You may be living a life, dissolute life, immoral life. But whatever road you're on, Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this very day, Jesus will save you from your sins. If you are just an immoral sinner, or if you are a religious sinner, Jesus will save you today. Oh yeah, He loves you. And you know, that may be the reason you're here this very morning. Because God knew you was going to be here. And God wanted me to tell you, He loves you. He wants you to know the truth about your spiritual condition so you can do something about it today.